Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader radio show.
Nikes.
About to get the Jordans next week. Yeah. Strictly gold on it. Buckies and all that.
I got the fragrance, the fuck. Don't run my shoes. The shoes? It's gotta be the shoes.
The feet and the shoes.
I got the fragrance, the fuck. Don't run my shoes. The shoes? It's gotta be the shoes.
Fits like a shoe.
Welcome to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. It is Sunday, April 21st, 2013. Now, I guess over the last week, there's been a ton of news, both in e-books, e-readers, and all of that jazz. Getting into it right away, we got the Kobo Aura HD in our hands, and we've put it through the paces, comparing it against the Amazon Kindle Paperwhite, Barnes & Noble Simple Touch Reader, the Bokeen Cybook Odyssey HD, the Kobo Glow, Kobo Arc, and a number of other units. You can check out all of our video at youtube.com/goodyreader. We've done independent videos, really just putting it through the paces. So if you have any of those e-readers that we mentioned and you're thinking about upgrading, you will not find a comprehensive review anywhere. We were looking at other reviews all over the internet, and most people saw it at the London Book Fair, or they saw it at IFA, and, you know, it really comes down to it where we got the only really review out there. So we both have a written review as well as a ton of video comparisons. So, I mean, Goody Reader is the source for all of this stuff. So if you are into e-reader reviews, you may want to check all that stuff out. Getting into what the Kobo Aura is all about, it's pretty well the highest resolution e-reader, you know, in the business. You got 1440 by 1080, which is better than the Kindle Fire HD 7-inch, as well as the Barnes & Noble Nook HD. And those are tablets. So this is an e-reader with higher resolution than most tablets on the market. Most e-readers these days are 6 inches. You have all the e-readers that we mentioned that are in a 6-inch class. Almost every e-reader that hits the market is 6 inches. Now, this bucks the trend and gives you a 6.8-inch e-reader. And that extra almost inch of real estate really kind of makes manga, comics, graphic novels, and even ebooks display more pictures and text on the screen at the same time. Now, with an ebook, you know, you figure, will 265 DPI and 1440 by 1080 resolution make my text look better? And the simple answer is yes. It's a higher definition display. So text is going to be a little bit more crisper and a little bit higher in the resolution department. Now, one thing we didn't mention is that this is a front-lit e-reader, which means that it'll allow you to read in the dark. Now, the Kobo Glow was the first e-reader that Kobo had put out that had the front-lit display. Difference between front-lit and backlit, you're used to computer monitors, televisions, tablets like the iPad. The light emits from, you know, the screen from behind it. Front-lit is built into the side of the bezel, so the light is actually splashed across the screen rather than coming to your eyes. So it's obviously easier on the eyes during long-term reading sessions. Now, the higher resolution display in conjunction with the front light actually really makes it work, because Kobo has advanced features where you could adjust like the weight and the saturation and contrast of text. So depending on your brightness level, you could really optimize the text on the screen. So you say have darker fonts rather than lighter fonts. And a lot of companies like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Bokeen, Onyx Book, Wexler, Pocketbook, I mean, none of them give you the font augmentation options that Kobo gives you. So I really kind of think that if you're looking for an e-reader right now that's not Amazon, I would definitely look at this Kobo Aura HD. It's pretty well the best current generation e-reader that we've really played at right now. Other specs, it's a 1.6, it's a 1 gigahertz processor, 4 gigs of internal memory, which is 2 gigabytes more than the Glow and also more than the Kindle Paperwhite. One of the advantages of Kobo is that you could put all of your books on an SD card so you don't have to clutter the device's main memory up. And it does play nice with Calibre too for collections and tags and all that jazz. So long story short, I really dig this e-reader. It's not really going to be able to hit the stores until the very end of the month. I think it's almost the same day that the BlackBerry Q10 comes out that this e-reader actually comes out. You can pre-order it right now off of shopereaders.com and also kobo.com. A lot of stores in, say, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, you know, Europe, bread and butter markets for Kobo. It's going to be some months before they actually get everything shipped to them. So if you want this right away, I definitely recommend to get it from our retail arm, shopereaders.com. So in the end, I give the Kobo Aura HD an 8.5 out of 10. I think it's fairly solid, but it does have some like drawbacks. For one, Wi-Fi is prone to randomly disconnect. If you say initiate the Wi-Fi and you go to buy a book and then 10 minutes later you want to access the internet via the browser, you're going to have to spend a good minute and a half getting the Wi-Fi recognized again, connecting to your Wi-Fi network. It seems to forget the last connected network that you're at. So say I'm at home, I connect to my home Wi-Fi network. It won't scan my connection. It'll scan every Wi-Fi connection, and then I would have to, you know, connect, enter passwords and stuff again. Reading life tends to take over your home screen. One of the cool things about the Kobo Aura is that the home screen's dynamic. So whatever you recently do is evident on your home screen. Amazon Kindle Paperwhite, it's just books on your home screen. Nook, it's more like Barnes & Noble's just pimping out ebooks on you. And a lot of other companies, it just sort of shows the last four books that you have read, loaded on your device, or in a process of reading. Really, anything you do with the Aura puts these shortcuts on your sort of pseudo desktop, rather. So if you open up the web browser, if you load up a game and you want to play, Words or Chess or anything like that, it'll put shortcuts. And if you go and look at, say, your reading life statistics, it'll put a reading life thing on your home screen. So it's cool. And they also put a dedicated sync button on your home screen. So if I'm at, on a work computer, or if I'm buying a book from Kobo on my iPad, I can just hit sync, and then that book would be fetched from the Kobo servers and delivered right to my Aura HD. That's really all I got to say about that. I do think it's cool. Now, there is a lot of news sort of happening around the area of ebooks. Now, you may have heard about a little pilot program that's happening right now. Simon & Schuster has initiated a new pilot project in New York and a bunch of libraries around there. So you're going to have the New York Public Library, the library in Brooklyn, and the library in Queens. Now, this is the first time that Simon & Schuster is really kind of getting into the library program. And they're dealing with almost the same companies that they, when Penguin initially ran their pilot project. So you have 3M, and you have Baker and Taylor, which with their Access 360 program. So 3M will handle the digital distribution for the New York and Brooklyn public libraries, while Baker and Taylor will run it in Queens. Now, what of Overdrive? Overdrive is pretty well the largest company that does digital distribution for libraries. A lot of these publishing companies don't like it that Overdrive is the only company that deals with Kindle books, so you could borrow books from Overdrive and have them delivered to your Kindle. A lot of publishers really don't like Amazon. They see them as a necessarily evil, but they don't want to deal with them any more than they have to. So Baker & Taylor, 3M, are going to be running a pilot project. No really time frame on how long this is going to go for, but if it's any indication that Penguin, it took about a good 4 or 5 months when they started dealing with their pilot project, almost in same libraries in New York, before they started saying, okay, we're going to roll it across like the entire US. I think that they're kind of just experimenting with like the logistics and everything like that. One of the things that they're doing, which I think is very interesting, is libraries will get a cut out of books that are sold. So you figure a new book comes out and it's in high demand, and there's a waiting list of like 150 people in front of you. What you can do is you can actually purchase the book directly through the library website, and the library will get roughly anywhere between like 5 and 11% of the sale. So libraries will actually be able to make a little bit of commission off of the ebook process. And this is really the only company that's really doing this sort of thing. And so partners of all up and down the supply chain that are going to pretty well give the libraries the commission for it. So you really only have to deal with 3M, or you really have to deal with Baker and Taylor for their Access 360 program in order to be included in that. Seeing as though I'm talking a little bit about Amazon has actually developed a new cool platform, which is for comic books. And this is very interesting. What's this all about, I'd be asking me? You may say, cause, what exactly is Amazon doing with comics? They already sell comic books. Well, they are making, and they have quietly rolled out, the Kindle Comic Creator, or KC2. And they didn't do any press releases. We were actually the first website to break this story. The software basically allows users to upload comics, graphic novels, and manga in a variety of formats, such as PDF, JPEG, TIFF, PNG, and PPM, and you can quickly convert them to Kindle eBooks. They can also import EPUB and Kindle Format 8 files that are created in accordance to Kindle publishing guidelines. So the support for this software does front-facing pages, double page spreads, right-to-left page turns, which is more common in manga, and they also take advantage of the Kindle panel view, which is pretty well comparable to the Comixology guided view, where you could isolate specific panels. They take up the full screen, so if you're reading it, say, like on an e-reader, you know, you're not going to be able to read the text on a full page, but if you double tap, you can load up each frame, and it pretty well is very easy to read. So the finished product is readable on Kindle Fire HD, Kindle Fire HD 8.9, Kindle Paperwhite, the original Kindle Fire, as well as the Kindle keyboard and the various Kindle apps. So for iPad, iPhone, and for Android apps. And so the comics will be sold on the Amazon website. So there's a bunch of revenue schemes involved in that, depending on the price. I'm not going to really get into it, but it is comparable to Comixology Submit, which basically allows comic creators to upload their works to Comixology. And Comixology actually gives you a better rate, which is about a solid 50%, but that's net. So I do think that if you are into comic books and everything like that, you may want to take a look at the Kindle Comic Creator. Now, Amazon isn't the only company in the news this week, or in the last few weeks, that have something to do with comics. Madefire and DeviantArt have just teamed up for full motion comics. Now, I mean, if you're an artist that does 2D, 3D, game art, animation, any of that type of stuff, you've heard of DeviantArt. It has 26 million registered users and 150,000 daily submissions. Now, these are people that are artists. And I went to art school, little known fact. I took animation at one of the leading art schools in Canada, and I'm a writer for Goody Reader, so put that together. But actually, I did work in the video games industry in Vancouver for a number of years, and then actually taught game design and level design at a number of art schools in British Columbia. So I sort of paid my dues in the industry doing a lot of Nintendo DS, Nintendo Wii style games, and then kind of moved into the teaching role, which I actually liked a little bit better. It was kind of awesome to actually put together a kind of cool, a curriculum. I basically had to design my own curriculum and actually teach it. So it was cool because I like to school the kids on sort of the history of gaming, because a lot of people just know, you know, the Call of Duty. They don't really know the origins of gaming and really kind of what took it from back in the day, like the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. You know, what were the seminal games? What were the games that sort of broke down the barriers for various genres, you know, from the old Sierra point and clicks to the LucasArts, you know, Day of the Tentacles, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm digressing a little bit, but everybody that I knew sort of back in the day, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, and even a lot of artists I know now, all use DeviantArt. They use it as their online portfolio. They use it to connect up with other like-minded artists and creators. And so one of the things that DeviantArt has in surplus is artists. And Madefire and DeviantArt have ironed out a partnership where people could actually make comic books using and being sold through Madefire's existing iOS apps and Flash-based internet websites. Revenue share program is poised to give creators 20% of everything sold. Now, with this, I mean, it's DeviantArt is hyping this, Madefire is hyping this, and I think the community aspect of DeviantArt may see this work. In the last 2 weeks since this program went live, you now have 20 comics that are full motion that are available now. Now, what's full motion? Well, they're not static. You may have, and you know, it's sort of everything's different. So it's really hard to say what the standard is. But if you think about it, where you may have like a raining kind of animated GIF background, and then like a character may slowly saunter onto the screen, and then the text bubbles will like organically show up. So it's pretty well, it's artists. So you kind of have a different standard for everything, but it's not animation, but it is sort of kind of cool keyframe type movement. So it's worth it to check out. We have something on our front page. We have a link to the 20 comics available. Some of them are free, but it's worth it to check out. There's already thousands of authors that are commenting on it and getting involved, and it's a good pool of talent for writers and artists and, you know, animators to all connect up who eventually want careers, you know, in the comic field. And I think that this is a valued option because you look at, say, the Amazon one or Comixology Submit, and it's basically for people that kind of already know their way around creating comic books. I think that this DeviantArt thing would be a good way for rookies and newbies who, you know, love comics but want to get into it, but, you know, don't know anything about how do I make a comic, you know, how many pages, or, you know, what should I do? And this way people could brainstorm together, you could find like-minded people to, like, experiment and stuff like that. And it's a lot of the times those early relationships that you established with like-minded artists, fellow authors and things like that, that kind of become like your little inner circle that, you know, later in life, you know, if you still connect up with those. And I really recommend that if you're a young artist, if you're a young comic book creator, even a young author, to not just give up on relationships that you establish with people as you meet them, because it's hard to meet like-minded souls, you know, especially when you get older in life. You sort of have like your waning pool of friends that tend to go their separate ways. And when you're younger, you tend to say, oh yeah, I'll always be able to meet friends and, you know, be able to meet new people and this and that. But that's not really the case. And when it comes to something that you want to do professionally for a living, it's always awesome to maintain that pool of contacts and to, you know, to carry them with you in your backpack, so to speak. So young artists, if you're wanting to break into the comic book field, check out DeviantArt. I mean, you've probably are using it if you're listening to this show, but if you're not, it is a great pool, and it's one of the longest lived websites out there that cater for artists. I know it's like at least 10 or 15 years old, and it's gone through a lot of iterations of site designs, but if there's any one constant, it's brilliant young artists and a lot of really great people in the industry that actually use this service. Speaking of comic books, Archie Comics goes same day as print on Google Play. So if you are a fan of Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, even Dilton Dally, Moose, all those folks, you'll be able to get them through Google Play now. And this is the same day as the print editions hit the shelves. So you have about 99 cents per issue, and it launched on Google Play with over 500 titles. And a lot of companies are starting to hit Google Play. So Dark Horse, for one, established a new relationship, and, you know, it's pretty well all good. As always, every week, Amazon makes a lot of announcements, and we covered some of it with their comic program. I'm just going to quickly run down some of the other news that's hit the wire this week in regards to the company. They've acknowledged their app store is going to be broadening its horizons into 200 different countries this summer. So that includes Canada, Brazil, Australia, a number of ones. And so this will give people with Kindle Fires or other Amazon-branded tablets to be able to download and purchase apps from the App Store. And what this also means is that it's a viable alternative to Google Play. And so if you have a smartphone, if you have a tablet and that's not Amazon branded, you can download the Amazon App Store and actually run it. Now, this is pretty well in conjunction with the launch of Amazon Coins. What's Amazon Coins? Well, it's their new digital currency that they're really throwing the weight of the company behind. It's poised to launch sometime in the next few months, and they're wrapping up a developer program right now where developers are integrating Amazon Coins into their apps, into their games, into their news apps to function as virtual currency. Amazon, when this launches, will actually give a few million dollars worth of currency out to people. And what this means is for developers who get into it early enough, they'll actually be able to get a ton of people with free currency looking for something to spend it on, and not a lot of apps will be taking Amazon.coin, so it makes the people who are, you know, launch partners or sort of get out of it, out of the gates early enough that they'll be able to actually make some serious money with it. So, you know, what it's like when you get free money, you know, where can I spend it? You know, who can I spend it with? Well, Amazon's really pushing app developers for the deadline of April 28th, I think. And this way, it'll give people a chance to experiment with some new virtual currency. So this App Store expansion in conjunction with Amazon Coins is something that this is going to be a very important summer, you know, for the company, because they're launching a number of kind of cooler initiatives that are going down the pipe. Finally, in the last bit of Amazon news, they're going to be expanding to Russia. Russia is the type of market where a lot of companies don't get involved in. You have Ictaco, Pocketbook, and a number of other kind of Ukrainian and Eastern European countries that are actually doing business in Russia, but so far none of the top big e-reading companies are really located there. Amazon has hired someone to coordinate it, and they actually have three positions that are for executive positions, and they're actually in the process of opening an office there. They've also filed a number of patents, mainly had to have to do with like cloud storage, digital book delivery. I think they filed about 4 or 5 different patents so far. And so they're looking to both sell e-readers and tablets there, as well as open up an online bookstore for people to purchase. So I think it's only a matter of time before their self-publishing program at KDP hits there. And so it'll give Russian independent authors a viable avenue to both sell things domestically in Russia, as well as sell things in Europe, you know, and all the other markets that Amazon is in right now. Let's wrap it up today and talk about some things that Goody Reader is going to be doing and things that we're kind of doing as a company right now. First of all, our app store is absolutely going crazy. I'm looking at some of the traffic statistics, and we're getting close to about 12 to 15 million hits a month just on the web-based version of our app store. And that's not including people who use our Android and Playbook apps. BlackBerry, may you ask, what are you doing involved in that? Well, last year, BlackBerry gave people the ability to sideload in Android apps. Now, it's not as easy as that, as I've mentioned before. It's an arduous process that involves a lot of testing, a lot of converting, using multiple programs. And in the end, it gives people with the BlackBerry Z10, Q10, and the BlackBerry Playbook the ability to load in apps that BlackBerry does not provide or support. Let's give some examples. Zinio, Instagram, Netflix, a lot of mainstream programs that will likely never hit App World or BlackBerry World, we have them on our site. And we basically work with the original Android version and make them work with BlackBerry. Sometimes that requires augmenting code. In other cases, it's just trial and error. Testing 1,000 apps, 100 of them work, we post 100. I think right now we have a little over 2,000 BlackBerry apps right now, and we're the largest alternative to BlackBerry's official store. So I think the big hyping factor between our store is that we have 16,000 Android apps and about 2,000 BlackBerry apps. So we're quickly becoming a force to be reckoned with in the mobile world. Originally, we launched it just because everybody was sending us emails. You know, I got a tablet. Where can I find the Kindle app? I got a BlackBerry Playbook. Where can I find Instagram? You know, where can I find all these apps? And we kind of got a bit tired, like, you know, downloading files and emailing them, where it's like, okay, we'll just open up an app store and we'll just put everything in one place. Originally, we just focused on e-reading and comic book apps, but we quickly expanded to meet the needs of people with kids who want early education apps, or people who are gamers and, you know, want the latest, you know, gaming apps, you know, things like that. So we quickly, you know, are uploading almost like 100 apps a day for both BlackBerry and Android, and it's almost becoming a full-time job in itself. And I mean, the traffic speaks for itself. I mean, a lot of people are really stoked that we're actually doing that, and we're, you know, very happy to be providing people with BlackBerry's a solid way to get apps, because BlackBerry catches a lot of flack from people who are saying, you know, their app store is a barren wasteland. It basically has just crummy apps, where we're more of the curated approach. We don't like a lot of schlock on our app store. So We're not going to upload apps just for the sake of uploading apps, but they got to be good, you know, either weight loss apps or health and fitness or, you know, banking apps and just essential apps that you need in your day-to-day life. We don't focus on like a ton of apps that you can get anywhere else. We just kind of focus on the gooders. Speaking of the gooders, we've just rolled out a new service for BlackBerry aficionados that will allow you to convert Android files to BlackBerry files on our website. So we've been working about the last 6 months to roll it out. It's really in beta right now, but we are putting in some voting features and some features where you could download the last few converted apps. Really what this will do is it'll convert APK files, which are Android files, to BAR files, which play nice with the playbook and any type of phone that runs on the BB10 operating system. You can see all of this and more at apps.goodyreader.com, and we do have an APK to BAR converter on our tap navigation bar, and that will really kind of teach you exactly what to do and how to do it. And then of course we have about 10 video tutorials that walk you through the whole entire process of loading apps on any of your device. So whether you have a Kindle Fire tablet and you want to load in our apps, we teach you how to do that. If you have a Playbook Z10, we teach you how to do it. So no matter really what kind of mainstream tablet you have or BlackBerry device that you have, we've really invested a lot in putting together these comprehensive tutorials that will walk you through the whole process. Now, in the next few months, we're going to be live at Book Expo America. We will be attending the Digital Books Conference for the first 2 days before the actual Book Expo actually starts. And we have a number of interviews lined up. And we're actually the second major sponsor of IDPF. IDPF's the company that's responsible for standardizing EPUB, EPUB 3, and all of the ebook formats. And the only other company to actually be a full-time sponsor is Publishers Weekly. So Publishers Weekly and Goody Reader, we are among good company, or I could say the same about them. Publishers Weekly is among good company with Goody Reader, folks. So we're stoked about that. That's going to be coming up towards the end of next month. So every year, Goody Reader gives you the most definitive coverage of Book Expo America. A lot of companies just, you know, basically just don't go, but just report on the news anyway. So you'll see a lot of digital book reading websites and digital reading websites that pretty well will say, you know, this is the news and this is the big events going on. But we're actually at these events on pounding the floors, getting interviews, checking out booths, making contacts, and just, you know, shooting the shit with a lot of people. So it's cool. And the month after that, we will be hitting up the American Library Association Conference in Chicago. And that'll be our first time in Chicago. So I'm kind of stoked about seeing the Windy City for myself. It's a 3 or 4 day conference. It's the main conference for libraries that goes on once a year. We were actually at their midwinter conference in Seattle, which is just a hop, skip, and a throwaway from our headquarters here in Vancouver, British Columbia. It's going to be big, folks, and if the Midwinter Conference was smaller scale, this is going to be a huge conference. So all the major players will be there, Baker & Taylor, Zinio, Newspaper Direct. It'll be the who's who of the library world, which will be there. And libraries and ebooks are in the news a lot lately with these publishers initiating pilot projects. So we're going to do our best to speak with these publishers, to meet with the vendors, you know, 3M, like we always interview, and a lot of companies. I mean, friends of Goody Reader, Overdrive, 3M, we have great relationships with them. Same with Newspaper Direct and Press Reader, as well as Zinio. I mean, all these folks are good people, and you know, 5 times a year I'm speaking with them at all these events we're covering, whether we're at O'Reilly Tools for Change or whether we're at Digital Book World, Book Expo America, or any of these big shows. So of course, Goody Reader, we make it our mandate to really kind of report on things that normally fly under the radar, current states of digital magazines, digital comics, anything really to do with digital publishing, we're all on top of. And we've really kind of grown as a publication up in about the last 2 years, just writing a lot of feature pieces. And it's sort of news and features that no one's really talking about, like what makes good ebook cover art and how exactly is it important. Early in the year, we did this massive three-part series where we basically talked to the heads of every major digital publisher out there, and we turned it into a huge series because like everybody was responding and everyone had their 2 cents to throw in. Amazon, you know, Kobo, all these big publishing companies, Smashwords, you know, they were all giving their 2 cents on the importance of cover art. And we do these big features, you know, all the time because is drawing attention to certain segments of publishing and self-publishing that don't get a lot of attention. I mean, who else besides really us talks about all the self-publishing options for comic books? I mean, I can't really think of anybody. You know, a lot of people parrot the press releases, but I mean, we're meeting with these people at, you know, Comic-Con and stuff like that, and looking at their next generation platforms and stuff like that. A lot of it we can't talk about, but we are looking at this type of stuff, and we can kind of subtly weave it into our story. So that's what we're up to. What are you guys up to? This is Michael. You listen to the Goody Reader Radio Show, and I will endeavor to do a little bit more of these shows as the weeks come up. If you want us to do this show a little bit more regularly, please comment on this post. If you're listening to it on iTunes or via Vimeo or a lot of other news services, including BlackBerry Podcast, you can get all the latest news, previews, interviews, and industry-wide coverage at our website at goodyreader.com. And for all the latest videos, product reviews, updates, and a whole lot more, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodyreader. And if you have a hankering for some apps, check out our app store at apps.goodyreader.com. I'm going to play a little bit of a tune to serenade you all out on this Sunday morning or late Saturday night. For goodyreader.com, my name is Michael, and everybody take care. Thank you.
getting comfortable now? Starting to pitch just right? Sit there. Look at all those people around you. Get acquainted.
I said I would never leave you.